Hello, everybody.
Wow.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
All right.
2021.
Welcome to Off the Cup with Hoppy and Hobbs, 2021 edition.
Yeah, I know. What episode is this?
Episode number 29.
29. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, a little pandemic thing turned into this monster podcast that's going global.
Yeah, 2 weeks of flatten the curve, guys.
And like 11 months of lockdown, and here we are.
50 weeks to flatten the curve. Here we go.
All right, so something fun happened to me while we were on break.
Oh, sweet.
First, let us introduce ourselves. This person over here is Hoppy.
I'm Hoppy.
This guy's Hobbs.
That's Hobbs.
Once again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So one thing that happened to me over the break, and it's sort of pandemic related, I got to go out of San Diego County, which is amazing because that hasn't happened in forever. And I went to Phoenix. And in Phoenix, they have a mask policy. They're kind of in lockdown, but they're kind of not. And I know there was a small period where restaurants were open in California, but they're not again. And I went into Panera, and there were people sitting at tables eating.
No way.
I felt like I almost had a panic attack because I hadn't seen it in so long. I didn't know what to do.
That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's like, hey, do you want to go sit down inside? Are you crazy?
With other people?
With other people? Like humans?
Like, I can't do this.
Like, do you just stand here? Do you seat yourself?
I just stood by the window. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean,
there's people here.
I mean, literally, it's like you're like, what, you can go in? That's, oh my God.
I went in and I ordered. I didn't do it from an app. And people were eating in the restaurants.
Man, I hope we get back to being able to do that in California. It'd be nice.
But the weird part is I didn't know what to do. I was like, yeah. I haven't seen this in so long. I don't know what to
do. They're going to have to reintroduce how to go into a restaurant again. This is your, you know, the server, and they're going to take you to your table, and then this is your waitress, and then you pick this thing here, and that's called a menu. You're going to have to reteach everything.
Yeah, it was just one of those things, because we've been super, super careful in our family, so we hadn't gone out to restaurants even when they opened back up. We just bought stuff and brought it home.
Hmm.
So it was just really, really weird to be in a place with people. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You got to experience that. That must have been nice.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like I'd never done it before.
Yeah. Unreal.
Meanwhile, my whole life I'd been doing it, but it'd been like 10 months since I've gone into a restaurant.
Wow.
All right. So we have lots and lots of stuff.
So much stuff.
Before we get into that stuff, is there any stories that you'd like to tell about your last 3-4 weeks where we haven't had anything but a Zoom podcast? Anything fun happen to you?
Yeah. We took the family up to Big Bear.
Ooh, nice drive.
Yeah. Pretty. Yeah. We took the long way. It's less curvy.
Aww.
Yeah. And so no one threw up in the back of the truck time.
That's always fun.
Yeah. But no, it was good. It had just snowed probably the week before. So there was a bunch of snow out there. And, you know, the kids had fun. And it's weird. It was like 22 degrees at night. And I was fine. And then we come back to San Diego, and it was 60, and I was freezing. I don't get it. I don't know what it is, but it was fun, you know, inner tubes and the sleds and stuff, and making a little ride for the kids in the front yard that had a big mound of snow there. So, you know, spend a whole bunch of money on snow stuff for 3 days, and then we come back to San Diego, and it's 90.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you deal with the 90 degrees in Santee and El Cajon yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, literally within a week, we went from 25 degrees to 90.
Yeah, well, even in San Diego a week ago, the high was 65.
Yeah.
And now it's 91.
Yeah, with a high pressure zone and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm like smoking yesterday, trying to wash my truck, and just, I'm like, dude, I'm on fire right now. This is hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Turn on the AC.
Turn on the AC something.
I had to turn on the fan.
No way.
Yesterday, because it was too hot.
It's January. Turn on the AC.
Yeah, turn on the AC.
Oh. Well, for those of you not in Southern California.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy the seasons. We have one.
This would be your vacation destination if you were allowed to travel.
Yeah. If you could do anything, San Diego would be great.
Yeah. All right, so lots of Major League Baseball Tons stuff of today. Stuff, we're going to go over a lot of stuff. You know, we've only had one podcast in the last 3 or 4 weeks because we took some time away to spend time with our families.
How dare us.
Over the holiday season. Although we did rock one Zoom podcast.
Yeah, that was good.
Pretty good, talking all about how the Padres killed it. And we did re-release our wonderful podcast on the Unwritten Rules of Baseball.
It's a classic. I think it is.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm going to be posting that up to our YouTube channel pretty soon.
Very cool.
As we move into the new year, we're going to be expanding our horizons into YouTube video as well. Because, you know, there might be 2 million podcasters, but we want to get into that pool of 10 to 50 million YouTubers because, you know, that's where you should be.
Yeah.
Let's fight in the big ocean. So lots of Major League Baseball stuff, and we're going to go through most of it
today. Most of it, yeah.
We're going to start with a little bit of fun here. So for those of you that are watching the news, yesterday was the last day before arbitration in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to compare two players, one from the Padres and one from the Yankees, that came to an agreement before they had to go to arbitration. So for the Padres, Tommy Pham, who was arbitration eligible, agreed to an $8.9 million contract with the Padres. Good for him.
Solid contract.
Great job. And then Aaron Judge, who for the Yankees agreed to a $10.75 million contract. So my question to you, cup check, off the cup question, check. Whatever, is Tommy Pham worth less than $2 million than Aaron Judge?
Or is Aaron Judge only worth $2 million more than Tommy Pham?
Less than $2
million. Well, I mean, he got 10.
10.75 to 8.9.
Man, you know, this is where you have two good players, right? I mean, there's no doubt Judge is going to be a superstar. He's already, you know, they got the whole corner in right field named after him now. And then Tommy Pham, they're two completely different players. They're both good. They both help their ball clubs in different ways. I don't know. Pham is more of the, you know, puts the ball in play kind of guy, and Judge is the pretty much all or nothing guy.
Yeah, you've got the 30 to 50 home runs. Mm-hmm. You've got an arm that can throw the ball from the outfield versus one that can't.
Right.
You've got, they're probably comparable in speed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Pham edges them out a little bit. But you have the fear factor of Aaron Judge when he steps to the plate batting second.
Yeah, that every time he swings a bat, it can leave the yard.
Yeah. More strikeouts. Even though he's got the same speed, not as dangerous. But if this wasn't an arbitration year, how far apart do you think their contracts would be?
Oh, there'd be a huge difference.
Like maybe Pham could get 15 and Judge would be 25.
Oh, I don't.
Maybe Pham could get 12.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like, you know, 11, 12 a year for Pham. But I think because it's the Yankees and everyone in New York loves Judge and he was a draft pick and he's going to be a superstar, he's looking at 20, 25.
Over 7, 8 years?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you got Giancarlo Stanton that's got that horrible contract where he's getting almost 30, and he played 15 games last year. It's going to be difficult, I think, to get that, you know, the Machado, Harper, 10-year, $300 million for Judge. Because he has been injury prone. I think you might get that 6-7.
Yeah, but if the Yankees 25. Don't want to pay it, somebody else will.
Well,
could you imagine him hitting in Boston?
Oh, man. He would.
Going oppo, yeah. Down the line, over the monster.
Right. I think that's why the Yankees will have to pay him.
Pairing him up with the Bryce Harper in Philly.
Ooh. No, you know what? As much as I know, Dombrowski is all of what?
Could you see him in Toronto?
With that lineup, with Bichette and Guerrero? Ooh.
They're going to have to pay
him. Yeah, they're going to have to pay him because they don't want to pay. Unless they go, he's got such a big hole in his swing, go ahead. We'll face you 15 times a year. Let's see if we can get you out 40
He times. Has such a big hole in the swing, they bat him second because he walks so much. And he hits so many home runs. He's on base all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be forced to pay him because the fear would be that he would go to Boston and then Aaron Judge hits a home run to beat the Yankees and knock him out of the playoffs. So, yeah, but that I just refer back to the Giancarlo contract that's killing them right now.
Yeah, and then you always have the Angels who are taking plenty of money off the books.
Ooh,
there's the Pujols contract.
And he is a Southern California guy. Can you imagine Judge and Trout in the same outfield?
I mean, when you get into this, somebody's going to pay him the $25 to $30 million.
Yeah,
unless something crazy happens.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. He would, and you know, I think he would love, come to the
Angels.
And we
didn't even talk about the Dodgers.
I know. So. No.
other Yankee/Padre news, rumors of Tanaka coming to the Padres to be their fourth or fifth starter.
Yeah. And there's a connection there with Rothschild, the former pitching coach with the Yankees. So there's a history there. And Tanaka's already said, he goes, if I don't sign with the Yankees, I'm going back to Japan. But then this rumor comes in, and you're like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
It's close to home, too. I mean, it's closer to Japan.
Yes, if you break out your maps.
7 hours closer by flight.
But that makes sense. Depending on what kind of contract, I mean, if you're going to talk 4 or 5 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
You've got to pitch next year when they have the Padres staff.
Is fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Tanaka would be your five in that lineup.
Right. A guy that can go out and dominate. You know, he might not be the same guy he was 3 years ago, but he could come out any particular day and just shut somebody down completely. And so you would have Snell, Clevenger, Lamet.
Darvish.
Tanaka.
And that's not even with your puppies that all throw gas from the left side.
Not Weathers, Gore, Morihone.
Luke Casey's still hanging around.
Luke Casey's in the minors right now.
Hey, don't forget me, guys.
I'm on a big league contract.
Remember, I was your number two starter? Remember that guy? Yeah. No, I mean,
last year, by the way.
Yeah, Tanaka to San Diego it's a win-win, I think. You know, Tanaka stays in the big leagues and the Padres get a guy that's reliable. He goes out there and pitches. So he's got a relationship with Darvish and then he's got a relationship with Rothschild. So I think it really depends on, you know, the dollar amounts because the Padres have, you know, spent a ton. But it makes sense. It makes sense. Even if it's a year with a club option. You know, and
it's going to be two plus a club option for a third.
Well, I hope if they do it that they're not, you know, throwing out just crazy money.
Because
you do have those young arms.
I think at this point we got to be at the point where we can't be worried about the Padres spending money anymore because they're not that team anymore.
Right.
And if we're spending somebody else's money, who cares how much?
Right. No, I mean, ownership is just flat out said, you know, we're going to win, our heads will roll.
Here's the thing about the Padres right now. Now they can swing it and they can play defense. Mm-hmm. So if they do 75% of what they did last year with the bats, they're going to win more games because they have better pitching.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to that, mm-hmm. You add that pitcher, you give up less runs, you score less runs than you did last year, but you actually have a better differential.
Right. And you're bringing in a veteran that knows how to pitch, you know, and that's the hard part, or that's the difference between the Padres 5 years ago and the Padres now, is they would go and get a young guy.
Let's hope.
And we're going to run him out there and he's going to throw 4 innings. And then, you know, the former manager would just bring guys in left and right.
Or they just get a veteran that they are going to throw out there for 7 and they don't care
right.
how many runs he gives right. up and just hope they score more.
Yep. So, no, it would be a good move if they did it.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Let's talk a little bit about one other free agent that left the Padres, and that's Kirby Yates.
Yeah, this is an interesting it got out that the Padres aren't on his short list.
Not the final five.
And that's, to me, oh, man. So I find that very, very interesting.
I don't. And I'll tell you why. The Padres have had multiple years to extend his contract. And instead of doing that, what did they do last year? They free agent Pomeranz for multiple years. They trade Pagan for Pagan, who they have for multiple years. And they basically told Yates, you're going to pitch this year, but we're not signing you because we don't need you anymore. Mm. So if you want to sign with us, you're going to have to take less. And then what did they do? Yates got a little dinged up and they went and got Rosenthal. So then it's like, just so you know, we don't need to pay you because we have all of these guys.
Right.
That's kind of what I, when I read into the situation and take a step back and look at it, that's what I see. That's like, thank you for being great. You were never supposed to be great and we're not going to pay you like you're great.
Yes. Yeah, so sorry, you were awesome. And you're, you know, the second rated best reliever, but
we just went and got other guys. We don't need you.
Yeah. No. And, you know, he does bring that mentality.
Yeah.
But today's closers all throw 97. Yates doesn't throw 97. He's a split guy and you're like, okay, great. But, that's what everybody's doing. All their closers throw gas. There aren't, you know, the finesse closer is, well, it's a dying breed. Now, he's effective, right? I mean, he would look great.
He was. So it comes back to last year. When did he get hurt and how hurt was he? And then they just not want to roll him out there because he didn't have it anymore. And so that's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at it, he wasn't getting people out when he wasn't hurt. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he was hurt and he never came back.
Yeah.
So how hurt was he? Was he really hurt? And did they just make that decision like they did with Will Myers a couple years ago on just like, okay, you're hurt. You're not playing the rest of the season.
Yeah.
That's just my thought. Like if you think he couldn't get anybody out when he wasn't hurt.
Right. I don't know. It, you know, the whole shortened season and you had spring training and then you were off and you had your second spring training. Yeah, I know it affected a lot of pitchers. There were a lot of injuries. You know, and Yates is obviously one of those guys that is a routine guy and it got all messed up. But, yeah, you know, you bring in other guys and you extend them and you give them some money and then you're like, hey, what about me? Right. I'm your closer.
Right. And they went and got the closer from the Mariners too.
They got, yeah.
And another guy that throws 97 from the Mariners that mm-hmm. came in and did so. And then they got the lefties from the side. It's like, they've got so many guys that are used to pitching the ninth inning. Do they really need another
one? Yeah. And like I said, the finesse closer, I say that because his out pitch is a split. It's not, you know, a 98 mile an hour fastball.
No, it was the Trevor Hoffman of today.
Yeah.
And yeah, fun as heck to watch, I'll tell you that much.
It'll be effective. I just obviously won't be with the Padres.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's in the American League and not with the Dodgers because last time I checked, he was talking to them.
Oh, man. Yeah, I always hate when former Padres that go off and do well against us.
Yeah, so
Matt Kemp.
Another thing that went on in the last 2 weeks were some unsubstantiated rumors about Fernando Tatis getting an 11-year, $330 million contract after playing about less than 1 year's worth of games in the major leagues, and now there's more rumors about, you know, an 8 year, 7 year, $220 million a year deal. You know my take on this. He hasn't played enough baseball to be worth a 7 or 8 year, $160-$200 million contract, in my opinion, because he still has to prove that he's a big leaguer. Even though,
well, I don't think there's a doubt that he's a big leaguer.
But is he the MVP candidate big leaguer year over year?
Yeah, I mean he did get tired.
Yeah.
I mean, enough to where they gave him a couple days off.
In a 60-game season.
60-game season, got tired. You know, if you expand that over 162, I mean, he hit 301 last year?
I'd have to look it up.
But he was
a stats guy.
Yeah, but he was an MVP hitting, you know, 340-something and just knocking the cover off the ball and got tired. Now, he plays at a high rate. I mean, he is go, 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 go. I mean, he's a kid. He doesn't know how to pace himself yet. Look at Machado. That is the definition of pace, okay? And then he turns it on when he has to. But he's also been doing it for a long time, and he's still got 8 more years on a contract that he's got. That's why, you know, they're talking about maybe moving Tatis to center field. It's less difficult on your body. I He's a phenomenal shortstop. He's an electric player.
Just getting better.
That's the thing. He's not at his best yet.
Yeah.
And that's where you look at that contract and go, okay, we're going to have him for his best for how long, you know, even a 10-year deal when he's a free agent, he's 31 or 32.
But you have so many years of control left. It's not worth it right now.
Yeah. Well, and what you're trying to do is say, hey, can we get a sweetheart deal for 10? So, you know, half of that you'd be making, what is it? What's the minimum now? $600,000 a year. If you go and extend them and say, hey, look, we'll give you 10 years, $200 million.
That way you can make $10 million a year right now.
Yeah. And you know,
and then we'll escalate it over years.
Or let's just say we'll guarantee it.
Yeah.
10-year, $200 million. And you're a free agent at 32. You know, and as athletic as he is, you know, I
the odds of him playing like this and still playing at 32 are slim.
Yeah, well, you got guys that have done it that have played 19 years in the big leagues,
but they don't play with reckless abandon.
No, but they're going to make plays.
Yeah, but the guys that play like Tatis, they get hurt. So they get a broken finger. They get
hamstring, especially if you start running into hamstring issues.
Yeah.
But would it be smart for the Padres to do it? Yeah, because, I mean, that locks in your fan base for at 8 more years. You got Machado and Tatis on the left side. You know, that locks you in. That gives you that face of the franchise along with the superstar that you already have in Machado. Now you got the young superstar in Tatis and watch that budding relationship grow.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a reason to force it. I would at very least just wait until the All-Star break. Like, start the talks and, you know, keep you know, talking about it, see how the season starts, where they're at in the middle of the season, how he's playing, have the pitchers adjusted, because there was a little adjustment in the middle of the season last year when he struggled, and see if he can keep that pace.
Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of, like, you know, 9-200, 10-200 guaranteed, and then move forward. I mean, the Braves have been successful with that, with their young guys. You know, 5 years, you're making money instead of bare knuckles. I say bare knuckles, but, you know, you're gonna be making some money that you didn't have last year, you know? So I would entertain it. I wouldn't go 300. No way. Not yet.
Yeah. And let's give a quick shout out to the former voice of the San Diego Padres, Ted Leitner, who I pretty much my whole life, he's been the announcer for the Padres radio.
Yeah, you know, with my family history in broadcasting, my dad was Roger Starr with KSON for many, many years. And that's where he met Ted Leitner. And, you know, when my dad finally got out of broadcasting, he would always listen to Padre games, sitting on the side of the house and listen to Uncle Teddy. And you know, my Padres. Only when they're winning, they're my Padres. And when they were losing, your Padres. You know? But Ted Leitner, he has dedicated his entire, you know, career here in San Diego, 41 years. That's a long time to be in the booth. You know, and the history, you know, I don't care who they bring in. I mean, they already...
Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah. They won't know the history that Ted Leitner knows. They just won't. You know, from the earliest days to now, Ted Leitner's seen it all.
Yeah, that was the greatness of when they were paired up, when he was paired up with Jerry Coleman.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, stories.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Coleman brought in, you know, he was a Yankee. And then became a Padre and then, you know, managed and then went back in the booth. And you had that full encyclopedia of, remember when this happened? Remember when Ray Kroc got on this loudspeaker? And remember when the chicken and, you know, all these things that the history of the Padres, I hope it doesn't get lost. Because even though we haven't won a World Series, but he saw the worst of the worst Padres and he saw the best of the best Padres. And not many people can say that.
And most of it was worst of the worst.
Yeah. you know, but he got to see that and he brought it to you, you know, as a listener, and he's walking you through. And, you know, when he says something, you're like, well, yeah, because he's seen it all.
Yeah. And no matter whether you liked it or not, that voice was familiar.
Mm-hmm.
When you hopped in your car and you turned on the game and you knew who was going to be calling it, you knew what it was going to be like. It was comforting, whether you liked the way he called games or not. And I'm going to miss the crush.
Crushed. But yeah, I mean, and... You know, he was one of the fixtures, you know, and when the Padres do well and you hear the highlights on ESPN or anywhere else, you're like, that's Ted Leitner, you know, and then they would say, you know, the famous Teddy, Uncle Teddy, give him the call, you know. There's not that many left. You know, you had Harry Carey, you had Vin Scully, you know, not that Ted Leitner's in that group, but
40, he is here
and 41 years, you know, now he's going to be an ambassador, which he says he loves doing. He loves the personal interaction. So the fact that he's still excited to be doing those things, you know, I never heard anything like, hey, it's a time for a change to get rid of Ted Leitner.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? If it was his decision to step away, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. If it was the Padres' decision, shame on you.
No, I heard an interview, and he's like, you know, 162 games, and I'm doing Aztec football, Aztec basketball. You know, when I do that sort of stuff, I'm a bus ride home in that night. It's not a, you know, 12-day road trip. So he goes, and, you know, I am getting older, so bringing Alder and Gwynn Jr. in, it's going to be good. But hopefully he'll you know, spotlight every once in a while.
Hopefully.
Come on in.
Yeah, I mean, you still work it out. You could have worked it out. I did only home games. There could have been like a zillion different ways to go, but that's why I'm saying if it was his decision, that's awesome. If it was the Padres' decision, shame on them.
Mm. Never heard of anything to the latter of it.
Me neither. Yeah. Me neither. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, because we're podcasters and we got to start controversy.
Yeah. They suck. Everyone sucks. Ted Leitner's awesome.
Coop Cooper in the house. Okay. So moving on to some MLB news.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were paying attention, but there's a little shortstop, kind of small in stature, was traded from the Indians to the New York Metropolitans.
Well, number 12, greatest number of all time, Francisco Lindor, huge pickup for the Mets. No, I'm telling you.
Is he the next Jose Reyes?
No, he's better than that. He's better than that. He's a franchise guy.
Is he the next David Wright?
Yes.
So he's going to play 1 year and then try to play for five more?
He's going to be a fan favorite. He's going to be, you know, the he can't be a mayor because
will he have his own day like Bobby Bonilla?
Only be no.
Will they be able to re-sign him? Is this a rental?
No, I think this is going to be a huge contract. I think this is a move forward. You know, Cleveland's a small market, but yet people know who Francisco Lindor is, and that's good. You go to the Mets and you're in New York, and you do well, you're famous. You're doing commercials. You're. Yeah. Everything.
So when the Cleveland trades their starting shortstop, who is a superstar, a starting pitcher who is above average, how do they not get a major league player back?
And that was a part of the trade that I didn't understand. They got good prospects. They got good up and coming guys, but you didn't get someone who, okay, I got a shortstop that I can plug in right now who's proven himself, you know, may not, you know, obviously not up to Lindor's ability, but I'm going to start him every day and justify the trade and say we did it to save money in the future. You got four hopes.
Well, I think they have to project one of those shortstops that they picked up to actually start this year or it's a waste.
There's Andre Jimenez and Amed Rosario. I believe the rankings is Rosario has the better chance at being a guy. Then they got Isaiah Green, who's an outfielder, and a right-handed pitcher named Josh Wolf. You know, who knows what they're going to become, but this is preempted to just losing him, you know? And so we got four prospects. The Carrasco, I'm like, that's a dump. Yeah. They're just dumping him. I don't get it, because you still got Bieber. Don't you need a 1-2, you know, to compete in the White Sox are in your division. It's like throwing in the towel, and you haven't even started the race yet. So this is a great move for the Mets. I don't know what Cleveland's doing. I really don't. 2 years ago, you had Kluber, Clevinger, Bieber, Carrasco in your starting rotation.
But let's talk about the alternative, right? So they trade Lindor to the Mets now. What if they didn't? So they would have had Lindor and Carrasco for till the All-Star break, till the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make you better?
Yeah.
Like, isn't your goal to win games? And even if Lindor walked away?
Yeah. You tell me, well, maybe they're like, well, we need shortstops in our system. We like Josh Wolf before he got drafted, and Isaiah Green is, you know, up becoming superstar. Let's just go and do it now. Okay, you just lost out on Lindor for, you know, 4 months, and Carrasco making, you know, 12 starts.
Right, because you're a playoff team.
Yeah. What if you're tearing it up and you're like, well, wait a minute.
Let's just go win the World Series.
Let's go get a couple rentals.
Let's go win the World Series.
Yeah. Well, and that's the difference. The Padres made that choice and spent money, and Cleveland hasn't.
So is this pandemic economics, right? We can't afford it anymore. We need to dump money.
Now.
Yeah.
Now. I got to dump it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, because
it doesn't make sense. The trade doesn't make sense.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is a great trade for the Mets. The Mets are like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this now.
Yeah, so good luck to the Mets who are building up. And when you add that to the not yet signed contract of Brad Hand for 2 years on the Mets.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Up.
Yeah, I like that. And Hand is savvy enough to handle New York. He'll be fine.
But it's just another player that was on the Indians.
Yeah, that they just let walk.
So.
No, that's and his contract, moreover than the one that Hendricks got that we're going to talk about, I think his contract's going to kind of set the table for the rest of the 700 relievers that are still trying to get jobs right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later too. But I think Brad Hand's a good pickup wherever he goes. So
yeah. Well, he's a lefty with a slider and a 92 mile an hour fastball. That's and you know, he used to be, you know, 95.
Yeah.
Now he's 92. And that, I think that's, they're like, well, he's declining.
But the best part about Brad Hand is he can get out right handed hitters. And in this age of the three batter minimum, that's the guy you want. You can go in there, have him face a lefty. And if he doesn't get him out, or there happens to be a right handed hitter behind him, he can get him out too.
Yeah. Now, and he's a gamer. I mean, he grits it out. So. I like Brad Hand. I was actually hoping, you know, Padres would be interested in him, but they already have Pomerantz. So
they have everybody. They have so many relief pitchers, yeah. And they all.
But I like Brad Hand.
They all throw 97,
yep.
Or more. Let's talk about something that a contract that I was really surprised about, and if this contract is true, which supposedly is, it makes you wonder where everybody else in Major League Baseball is. DJ LeMahieu got a 6-year, $90 million contract from the Yankees. That, to me, feels like a bargain.
$15 million a year for a batting champion and your best hitter for the last 2 years. That's a steal.
Yeah.
It's a steal. But what that also tells you is that there weren't many ball clubs going after DJ LeMahieu, which is weird. I know the Dodgers had thrown their name in there a little bit. Because you could sign him, and then you don't have to worry about signing Justin Turner back. But $15 million a year for DJ LeMahieu is a steal.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, the teams in California are like, if we can't put anybody in the stadium, we're only relying on TV contracts.
Yep. Parking, concessions, ticket sales, merchandise.
Gone. Because, look, when people go to the stadium, they buy more stuff.
Oh, definitely.
They buy jerseys. They buy.
Yeah, I spend way too much.
And not just in the stadium, but all around. They want to have a jersey to wear to the game. They want to have a hat. They want. When you're not going to the stadium, you're like, I still got my hat from last year.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll get that koozie.
Yeah. I'll put a $2 sticker on my window of my car.
Whatever. Yeah.
I'm not buying lanyards and, you know, the kids not talking me into the helmet Sunday and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And unfortunately in California, even if you're a big money team, you kind of gotta know that you might not play a game with one fan in the stands this year.
Yeah. Oh man, just think about the amount of money that each team lost last year. It's crazy.
Even in just 60 games. It's in the billions for...
It's ridiculous.
But so for DJ LeMahieu, if you are the Phillies, if you're the Red Sox, if you're the... Like, how do you not say like, I'll give you 91?
Yeah. It's like, oh, they 15? I'll give you 15-5.
Yeah.
You know, guaranteed.
Just have a guy rolling up there batting third, you know, hitting 320.
Well, I know Toronto was mentioned heavily with him, which I found interesting because they do have that young infield.
You got DH, though, in the American
League. DH and first base, you know, and then you can put Vlad over at third again if you want. But
not according to Hoppy.
It's interesting. It probably came down to two teams and then said, look, if you want to be a Yankee, we'll guarantee it. And we got $90 million. This is where we're at. And this is where other contracts in their lineup kill them, you know. But DJ is like, fine, I'll take $90 million. I'll take $90 million. Sorry, I'll take $90 million.
I just got guaranteed for 6 years, $90 million. What up, sucker?
I'm 32. I'm going to get a contract until I'm 38.
Exactly. For him, it's a good deal. I think for the rest of baseball, it's like... I expected him to get 4 years.
Yeah, you
million.
Get four with a team option
but for the
five.
But for the same amount of money.
Yeah. The AAV on it, it's $15 million a year. That's good, you know. I mean, but if you're a superstar, you make 30. I don't know.
So.
Good job, Yankees.
Yeah,
nice contract for that.
Good job for LeMahieu. Knowing he's going to make solid. Another $90 million in his
million.
Lifetime.
Only $90 million.
one of Hoppy's favorite guys, the Pete Incaviglia of our time, Kyle Schwarber. Signed with the Nationals. What
love
you feel?
It.
What do you
feel? No, I dig it. I dig it.
Does he hit in front of or behind their young superstar?
Oh, he hits in front of Soto.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Now, as I got a buddy of mine who's a diehard Cubs fan that looks like Kyle Schwarber, and I'm like, I used to always take pictures of him and go, hey, I didn't know you were starting in left field today, even though he was a first baseman. But when signing with the Nats, I think it's a safe deal for the Nats because when Kyle Schwarber's hot, he's hot. Don't know what they're going to do with him if they just stick him out in left and let him go. But he has improved defensively, and he got in shape. Injury bug a little bit got him. But if he's healthy, that's a power-hitting lefty in a lineup with Soto that you're going to bring some offense to it. Defense is going to be average. Base running is going to be average. But if he gets hot, and especially if you put him in front of Soto and he's going to see more fastballs, man, he might be a 40 guy.
Do they spot him behind the plate sometimes?
No.
Not at all?
No. He hasn't caught
first base
ever. First base? Possibly. I'm not sure.
Did they sign him just in case there was a DH? Because he's not a good outfielder.
Yeah, but I won't say he's not going to kill you. He's serviceable, and you hope he hits.
All right.
You know, but I like the pickup. I do.
All right. So tell me about this pickup. Liam Hendricks to the White Sox.
Oh, my God. Liam Hendricks deserved this contract. He was dominant. He just screwed everybody below him because no one's paying $13 million for a closer. Like I said, Brandon Hand's contract, I think, is going to be a little more indicative of what all the other relievers are going to get. You know, guys like Rosenthal. Now, if they don't take 10, well, then it was a gift. You know, before where you could have got him for 7 and Yates for 6, Hendricks signs for 13.5.
But he was the premier closer last year.
Yeah. Okay. So he had a great year. How many relievers go out and dominate, and then the next year, you know, they blow up and they're done, or, you know, they go to another team and it just isn't a good fit. And, you know, 4 years, $54 million for Hendricks is a phenomenal contract for him. But guys that really could help a ball club that, you know, are trying to not spend a whole bunch of money on the back end of their bullpen, it's going to be tough for Yates and Rosenthal and Colome. These guys that, you know, now they can go, hey, now I want 12. Like, yeah, our budget was 8. So we'll just stick with our young guys.
Yeah, see ya.
You know, so hopefully Brad Hand's contract is a little more indicative, because that's the same boat, the 30-something reliever closer with Yates and Rosenthal and those other guys. I mean, there's guys all the way down the list that are kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, but why did they pick them? They could have had Rosenthal. You know, the Mets could have had Rosenthal. Why did they pick Hand? Why did the White Sox pick
Because you're going to face the Dodgers who can't hit lefties.
But why did the White Sox pick Hendricks?
Because he's an American League. He knows the hitters and he dominates.
And he's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you're going to lock him up and you're going to prove to everybody in your organization, look, this is our guy, you know, because they got so many young guys that they're really, their position players aren't costing them a lot of money.
That's true.
You know, Eloy Jimenez, I think, is going to absolutely dominate. He's their left fielder. Legit. I think he's going to blow up this year. He's going to be awesome. So,
let's just see how the old guy in the dugout does. Why didn't they bring back Sparky Anderson?
Jeez. La Russa, how you doing, buddy? Cheers.
Here's a gift for you. You don't have Eckersley, but you got
exactly.
You got Hendricks.
But I think I mentioned this before. I want to see how La Russa runs a team in 2021.
Yeah.
Compared to 88.
Let's see how much they shift.
Yeah. And how long they stick with their closer and when, or with their starter.
Is he going to do the Goose Gossage 3-inning closer thing?
Might not. might work.
Hey, Hendricks, we're giving you so much money because we're planning on you pitching 2 innings every game.
Yeah, you're setup and closer.
You're going to throw 300 innings out of the bullpen.
That's crazy.
All right. So speaking of bullpens, there was a guy that threw one this week and got offered a 1-year, $11 million contract with the Yankees.
This must have been an amazing bullpen. He must have just blown doors.
Yeah.
And slider breaking, curveball breaking, changeup that looked like
he makes more money than Aaron Judge.
$11 million, 1 year, $11 million for Kluber. Holy cow. Like I said, that must have been an amazing bullpen, and everybody wanted him.
Yeah.
That's how good that had to have been for a 1 year, $11 million contract for a guy that's coming off an injury. Oof. Huge.
He makes more than Aaron Judge. I mean, Aaron Judge gets the endorsements, probably makes way more money than Kluber, but in the baseball contract, he makes more money than Aaron Judge.
That's crazy.
Who's more valuable to a team?
Well, the thing is, if he goes out and he's Corey Kluber.
Yeah, he's super valuable.
You got to steal at $11
million. Yeah.
A guy who hardly pit. What do you throw? 6 innings?
If he goes out and pitches 1 inning in spring training and doesn't play the rest of the year.
Then you're like, oh, God, didn't you see what happened last year? But if he goes out and he wins Cy Young this year.
That's a great risk to take.
Yeah. So now, I mean, you know, you got Cole and Kluber as your 1-2. You know, and then say you go and you get Tanaka back. Now all of a sudden you're like, dang, the Yankees got a good pitching staff, which, you know, their starting pitching was horrible. Paxton's still out there.
He's a free agent, right?
Yeah. So what's Paxton going? Hey, well, wait a minute. Kluber just got $11 million for a bullpen. He threw a bullpen.
He went and threw a bullpen.
$11 million.
Can that guy teach me how to throw a bullpen?
Right.
I want to throw a bullpen.
Was it 60 feet or 54 feet?
Let's go 32.
Yeah,
geez. I can throw gas from 32. I dare you to hit me.
Dominate 12-year-olds.
Give me a bullpen.
Man, when I heard that number, I went, wow.
How much money is he kicking down to the catcher for the bullpen?
I know, dude. Or the catcher's going, hey.
Hey, dude, I just got you 11 mil. What are you giving me?
I know, dude. I mean, I made everything pop.
Did you see me back there?
Yeah. Even your changeup was popping.
So, I made your changeup soft and your fastball pop. Let's go, baby.
So this is a, you know, whoever does better looks good type of contract. You know, if Kluber dominates, Yankees look great.
And he's going to get a big contract the next year.
Yeah. You know, if he goes out and he sucks, then they go, what are you doing giving this guy with the history of injuries?
Well, then his career's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a bet on yourself moment right here.
Yep. So, man, like I said, that must have been one hell of a bullpen.
They should make that bullpen into a movie.
They did. The Rookie.
Oh, there was a little bit more to the movie than just the bullpen.
Yeah.
One you wanted to talk about, Kurt Suzuki to the Angels. What does that mean? It means he signed with the Angels.
Well, the Angels got rid of both their catchers last year, and went with a younger guy. He's a veteran. He's gonna run a pitching staff. Maybe Shohei Ohtani, kicks it up a little bit. With that connection, it's another sign that the Angels are quietly trying to compete by bringing in a veteran that...
Aren't they just filling a spot for 1 year? I mean, wasn't it a one-year deal?
Yeah, but it's a veteran. But this is a veteran. This isn't a journeyman. This is a veteran that's won a World Series, with the Nats. And it's going to call a good game and maybe try to figure out what's going on with their pitching staff, because it's been all over the place for like 5-6 years. So I like the pickup. Like I said, he's a smart player. He's going to bring a veteran presence behind the plate, a little more, hey, we don't have to worry about catching, but you've got veterans and Pujols and Trout and Rendon. If they're all healthy, all of a sudden the Angels look good.
Does this lead to the signing of Yasiel Puig to the Angels?
I'm
just throwing a dart right here.
I know. I seriously don't understand how Yasiel Puig is not on a roster. The guy's an absolute beast.
Yeah.
And can't find a job. I don't know. I just really don't get it. How come he's not playing somewhere? Even if it's not MLB, why isn't he over in Korea? Why is he going to Japan? Why not? if he wants to play, then somebody should pick him up. I just don't get it. The guy's phenomenal. I'd love to have him in our outfield. Why not?
You have your own outfield?
Yeah, mine.
So speaking of that, here's what I want to do. We're going to talk about the best remaining free agents, but I want you to ask me, whether I'd keep them or toss them for the off the cup MLB expansion team to start our team with.
So we're going
to
cut them or release them or sign them or release them.
We're going to pitch them or hit them.
Okay.
We're going to toss them or keep them. So I want you to hit me. We'll talk about each one of the guys. I just sprung this on Hoppy just now. We had no idea we were going to do this.
Something.
So give me the first of your remaining free agents and whether or not I should add them as GM and Hall of Fame ballot voting member of Off the Cups expansion MLB team.
Here we go.
Who's first?
Trevor Bauer.
Sign him.
Yes. How much?
Well, if I get to pick, it's going to be like $100,000 over 15 years. but in reality, you're probably signing him to a 6-year, $18 million contract, because in reality, he's only had a couple good years. And that's probably why he's still a free agent. He might have been the Cy Young Award winner, last year. But what did he do previous? Not that much.
Yeah.
So he did great in a 60-game season, the best he's ever pitched in his life. I don't think that's worth $30 million a year.
No, I was thinking like 6-120, something like that, $20 million a year.
I don't know if I'd go that.
Well, he's too old for that. If we got closers making almost 14.
Yeah, but the problem is he's, 30-something?
Nah, I think 6, 5, 5-100.
I'd give him 18.
Actually, I think I posted on his Twitter, hey, 5-100, do it.
I'd give him 18, but I'd sign him.
Okay.
So right, Trevor Bauer, still available.
Okay, good. George Springer.
George Springer, left field, center field.
Center field.
I would sign him as a left fielder for 5 and 100.
Ooh. Hmm. So you're going to sign him?
Five, 100? Not at center field, no.
Okay.
5-100. What do you think?
5-100. The guy's won a World Series. He's young. Probably going to be more.
So, okay. And who signs him?
The Mets.
Other than, you think he's going to the Mets to replace Cespedes?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be a great pickup.
I think he goes to the Mets. I think, and the thing is, the Mets need to, because they're always back cover. You go and get George Springer. You got, you know, Carrasco. You got Lindor.
I think that's a good place for Trevor Bauer to land too. To be honest,
could you imagine him?
If they're going all in, they're going all in.
Yeah.
If Trevor Bauer wants to go there, obviously,
I don't know.
He's a wild card.
I think the Mets haven't had a center fielder in forever. It's always been a problem.
Well, that's why I was saying he'd replace Cespedes and left.
Yeah, but I'd put him in center. I'd give him. I'd do the 5-120. And say, okay, go play center field. Yeah.
All right. So he made it to off the cup and the Mets.
Yeah. Now this one here is going to be tough because you can only pick one.
Okay.
I'm going to give you two.
All right.
You can only pick one.
Sounds good.
Romanuto or Molina?
Oh, if I had to pick between the two, Molina, it's a 1-year contract for 15. If it's Romanuto, it's a 5-year contract for 105. I'd pick Realmuto for off the cups team because I want a player that's going to play longer.
Okay. You're not just going for the championship this year?
No, I want long-term success.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm signing Molina.
Why?
Because he's a gamer.
You don't even have a pitching staff yet.
He's a gamer.
On our team.
I don't care. Whoever he is, he's a gamer. He's attitude.
Yeah, but he's talking about retiring as a bargaining tool, and so that means there's not very much interest.
I know, but I want him for a year. I want my pitching staff to learn from him. I want my younger players to learn what it's like because he plays the game right.
Does your whole team end up with neck tattoos then?
Yes.
You got your team neck tattoo.
Yeah, OTC. Right here. OTC.
Cup check.
Cup check.
So let's take a step back. Where do they end up? So if they don't make our expansion team because Major League Baseball doesn't approve our proposal, because we would literally just sign free agents and have the second best team in Major League Baseball. If they don't accept our proposal, where do they end up?
Well, I know the Phillies are talking to Romanuto again, and they're talking a big contract. That, I don't know. I think Philly has more holes with their pitching staff. I think you can find a catcher. I mean, there's too many free agents that are out there that could do the job and spend a bunch of money. Compared to filling their pitching staff. So he'll probably end up back in Philly, but I don't know if that's the best.
So
I would rather seen him go to like Toronto.
Let me throw this one out there.
Okay.
Yankees trade Sanchez.
Ooh.
Bring in Romanuto to be their starting catcher so they can have a more consistent bat. They get prospects or pitcher back.
Wow. Who are you treating Sanchez to?
Anybody that wants him.
Ooh, it better be a National League team because that would tear their heart out if he goes to like Toronto. Or
would it?
Or yeah.
I think
as much as he's not that good at catching, the guy hits tanks. I mean, he flat out rakes. So American League team, I go get him. Again, that's one of those, you know, you're going to have to trade him and give up what? For a mediocre catcher that hits bombs?
Anybody would trade for him.
Oh, boy. Now, they I know the Yankees love him, but...
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, they haven't gotten rid of him, you know?
Because they don't have anybody else. So this gives them an opportunity to get somebody else and then deal him.
Wow.
Use him at DH until they
go get Tony Walters.
What about Molina? Where does he end up? Does he end up in St. Louis?
He ends up in St. Louis. Yeah. I think before the Darvish trade, when the Padres got another catcher in the deal, I know that he had been mentioned in San Diego, but I think he ends up back in St. Louis and will become a very, very good manager someday if he wants to. If he wants to. Or he just says, I'm done. I'm going to save, take all my millions and drift off into the sunset. He would be amazing. But I think 1 year deal back with St. Louis, probably for like, I don't know, 15. Just, I don't, because he's still going to start.
I don't know. I don't think Cardinals are a charity. They're a winning organization. And if they don't think he helps them win, they're not going to bring him back.
Yeah, I think, but the Pujols deal leaving St. Louis, that hurt St. Louis.
It hurt the fans. But it hurt the
fans.
The team.
Well, I understand it. It hurts the fans. And sometimes you got to bend that way.
Yeah. Well, they'd still be full. Like, if Molina's not on the team, they're still going to sell out opening day.
Yeah.
And if the team wins, the fans get over it.
Yeah. But they love Molina. And he's still good. That's the thing. He's still good. So, tough at bat every time. Clutches up.
162, not 60.
I'll take them.
All right. So, you got anybody left or are we done?
Nah, I think, I guess the other part, Didi Gregorius, you know, he was with the Phillies. You know, he's still.
Wasn't he an MVP candidate a couple years ago?
Yeah. You know, Michael Brantley with Houston.
I wouldn't take him.
Well, he finally figured out how to hit. Jackie Bradley Jr., you know, Gold Glove Award winner. Yeah. Billy Hamilton runs fast. He's not picked up somewhere.
Bench guy. He's just a bench guy, though. He never did what needed to be done.
Yeah. And then the real question is a couple of DHs that would look amazing. Nelson Cruz and Marcell Ozuna. Those two in a National League DH spot be amazing.
Yeah, but there isn't one. There isn't a National League DH this year, and that's a problem in my book.
I don't understand why
they're going to use it as a bargaining chip.
Yeah, I just don't understand why they just don't say, hey, we've got
bargaining chip in the next labor agreement. That's why. Stupid. It's like, hey, look, we did it. People liked it.
We liked it. You liked it. Everyone liked it.
If you want it, you're going to have to give something up.
It's dumb. Encarnacion. Well, hey, let's not forget Pablo Sandoval's available.
If you want a guy that looks really good in a Santa suit.
Well, if you have a double extra large jersey just hanging there, he'll fill it.
You like this one.
Yeah. But there's some other pitchers that still haven't signed. You know, veteran guys that are going to get a one-year deal, but you know what you get with them. John Lester, Cole Hamels, you know, Jake Arrieta, Jordan Zimmermann, Gio Gonzalez.
So I would take...
These are all frontline starters.
That's what I'm saying. Off the Cup could start their own expansion team just in free agents. But yeah. There I would take Lester, and I would take the third person.
Gonzalez.
No, not Gonzalez.
Zimmerman?
Go back.
Jake Arrieta.
Arrieta. So yeah. I would take those two.
Yeah.
Just going to eat innings.
Jeff Samardzija. Chris Archer.
Yeah, Archer definitely.
You know, it's amazing.
He can catch lightning in a bottle like you had in Pittsburgh and just dominate.
Felix Hernandez.
Really old.
35.
Yeah. And according to the Giants clubhouse guy, he doctors the baseball. So
of course they all do.
Everybody does.
Mike Leake. Guy eats innings. Yeah. Gives up jacks, but
number four on our on off.
But the Kluber at 35 got 1 year 11 mil. All these guys seriously need to call him and learn how to throw a bullpen. Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah.
You know?
He'd probably get one of the higher contracts of the
Jose Quintana. You know, James Paxton, Rick Porcello.
And Paxton should get the biggest and longest contract of everybody on that list.
Yeah. He's only 32. I mean, all these guys are 32, 31. I mean, they're all guys proven that they can go out and help your ball club. You know? Just going down the list, it's amazing. But again, 4 year 54 for a reliever. And then you got the other extreme is Kluber, 1 year for 11. Now all these guys are going to have to funnel in somewhere because none of these guys are, you know, big name frontliners anymore.
They're all going to be in the 7 to 10.
Yeah. But I'll take, give me John Lester. Give me John Lester for 25 starts, 20 starts, you know, all day. So many, it's going to be a whirlwind right before spring training. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
One other quick thing that I wanted to discuss, and it's just about the rule changes for this year. It looks like they're going to be continuing the 7-inning doubleheaders and the runner on second in extra innings, but not the designated hitter in the National League. I'm okay with the 7-inning doubleheaders.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
It's
I
just weird that. When the game's over and you're like, there's still 2 innings left.
Yeah. I think it should be like a 7 and a 9 or 9 and a 7. Yeah. And if they actually, it's like the college rule. You'll have 2 sevens, but if one or 7 and a 9, but if the first game goes extra innings and the second game is 7. In the big leagues, though, I mean, it's saving you 4 innings. That's really all it's doing. And you're not scheduling doubleheaders. That happens because of rainouts or COVID or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the 2 sevens. If it, you can give me the base runner, but I really like the DH in the NL. I don't know why that's such a using it as a bargaining point when everybody wants it.
Yeah.
So
I agree. So yeah. Commissioner, start listening up.
Yeah.
Theo's going to take your job.
Damn straight.
Theo's coming for
he
you.
He is. And he's so well liked.
Theo's coming for you.
Yeah, stop changing the game so much.
All right.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we had our first podcast of the year, episode 29 all time. We're not doing seasons. We're getting one season.
Season one, episode 29.
We're going to go to season one, episode 572.
That's going to be great.
I don't know, but for the first time this year, Hoppy, what time is it?
It is 10:09.
All right.
With that one, folks,
we are
out of here.
Woo! 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 Woo!
Happy 2021. Woo! Woo!